me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. In the first half of the show, we heard from the lovely Linda Cloak of We Do Social Media. We're going to hear from Richard Knox shortly. From Richard is from Enrich Health, and we're going to be talking to Richard in about 10 or 15 minutes. But I want to catch up with some of the tweets and emails and stuff that we didn't do in the first half of the show because Jill's talked too much. We've had a tweet from a new listener, Cinecore Limited. Yes, please, could we have a Business Bunker shout-out? Cinecore is a heating and cooling company in Kent, helping homeowners and businesses improve the energy efficiency of their property through AC and heat pump technology. Look us up at cinecore.co.uk. That's S-Y-N-E-C-O-R-E, cinecore.co.uk. And their Twitter handle is Cinecore, S-Y-N-E-C-O-R-E.
And did you know that Paul O'Grady has written another book that follows the adventures of Eddie Albert and the amazing Animal Gang? Mm-hmm. The latest book was titled The Amsterdam Adventure, but this time the setting is closer to home and is set on the Romney Marsh. Gosh, that's the second Romney Marsh thing I've said today. The book is titled The Curse of the Smuggler's Treasure. And it's the second book in the Eddie Albert series. Eddie is described as an ordinary boy with an amazing secret talent, unbeknown to anyone, he can speak to animals. That was Dr. Doolittle as well, wasn't it?
It's interesting. Paul lives in St. Mary on the Marsh.
Which is where?
Romney Marsh.
Oh, is it? Okay. So is it next door to Romney Marsh or is it part of Romney Marsh?
It's part of Romney Marsh, in the middle of the marsh.
Okay.
But he used to live next door to Julian Clary.
Really?
But Julian moved now.
What are you sucking?
I beg your pardon?
You've got a sweet in your mouth.
It's a Halls mentholyptus because I've got a sore throat.
Have you? Oh, dear. Not strep A.
No.
Apparently, strep A was put in the flu jab. Did you know that?
Don't start that.
Well, right, I want to
catch up where we are and then I want to talk to Rich. I don't want to talk about you. I do
as well, but I want to know about these sore throats. Did you know that Sir Sam Mendes said he rewrote the script for his latest film, which I'm dying to see? It's called The Empire of Light, after being inspired by a visit to Margate. We're all talking about Margate. The movie, which stars Olivia Colman, who I love, and Colin Firth, was shot around the Kent town in the spring of 2022. There's a young guy in it as well, who I saw on telly. I don't know his name, but somebody will tweet me and let me know. Because I think they have a little fling, Olivia Colman and this younger man.
Rummy.
A man of colour, I think we're allowed to say on air.
I've no idea.
I can't keep up. But a very handsome man of colour that she has a fling with, Olivia Colman. Anyway, so Mendes introduced more scenes in Margate during his scouting visit, and the director visited the Kent seaside again on Sunday for a special screening of the movie, which tells a story of a fading cinema in the 1980s. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
I backed a movie with
them. I can really smell your eucalyptus sweet.
Can you smell it from over there?
Yeah, the whole studio. It's like having one of those essential burners on.
Very I backed a movie with starring Jonathan Pryce called One Last Dance that also took place in Margate.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get a cameo walk on?
No, I didn't. They asked me if I wanted to, actually, and I said no. No.
You're too bashful.
Yeah, it was actually, it's a lovely movie. I've got it on DVD if you want to borrow it. What's On in Kent, the fantastic app that tells you everything that's going on in the county, have said, good afternoon. A shout out would be great, please. Enjoying the show, guys. Thank you so much.
There's quite a lot going on Twitter, and I'm sad if we've missed them. I'll have to have a look when... in a minute, because I've got lots of...
Well, Sarah Marsh Collins down there in Devon.
She's not very well.
No, get well soon, Sarah.
She's poorly.
Yeah, she said, a timely guest line-up on Business Bunker, those New Year's resolutions. I will be mostly on the couch under the electric blanket with the dogs. Can't shake this bug, but will be toe-tapping to the cheesy tunage.
I wonder whether she's got that flu that everyone's got. So Wayne Cunnington listening in, he's banned from Twitter still. I don't know whether Elon's ever going to let him on. Banned for talking about his vaccine damage, but he says, I pay for unlimited music on iTunes and it's a great thing, but I do agree it's dangerous for children to be allowed to sign people up too easily. So I listen, I've got a Sonos, I got rid of my Alexas, I got really fed up with them. I've got them, but I don't really have them on all the time. I've got a Sonos and I have my Spotify playing through it, and that works quite well. I paid for Spotify, and that's because the Sonos sound is beautiful. It's really nice.
Good.
Yeah. I have music on all the time in my house, nearly all the time. Drives my husband mad.
See, if I had music on, I wouldn't be able to listen to your voice messages, would I?
No, but it might be a good thing.
Which is a brilliant thing, because I don't listen to them anyway.
A little silver lining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Martin Reeves of Buddy Collectors has been on. He said, I'm going to listen on Ketchup as I'm viewing properties with my mum. Have a great show.
That's nice. Have a nice day with your mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Campaigners are raising funds to restore a derelict historical railway station.
Historical?
Yeah.
Or hysterical?
Historical.
Right.
As in the olden days. Mm. They believe it could be a great asset. And it's the Lydd Railway Station in Kent, which is closed in 1967. And the station on Romney Marsh is now missing its roof after it was gutted by a fire in November. Network Rail said it worked to find potential new stations, but Lydd was not currently a location we're actually pursuing. Andy Nash of the Lydd Station Heritage Group said, we're hoping to first save the building and do something for local people. Maybe a drop-in centre, a cafe, maybe even a museum. But the whole site could be a great asset to the town. They could put a solar roof on that, couldn't they?
They could do loads of things.
Yeah, we should get old Andy Nash on.
The funny thing is, the railway line still runs through the station and it's still an active railway line, but Railtrack just don't want a station there anymore.
And, you know, these rural areas need that sort of infrastructure more than anything, especially if they don't want us to use our cars.
Yeah.
Did you hear about all the hoo-ha about electric cars, people stuck at Christmas because they couldn't charge? Why aren't people having the hybrids that self-charge when you drive? So what, nobody ever talks about that on air.
No, they do. People do talk about hybrids.
Well,
I've
heard about, listened to about three interviews, Talk Radio and Jeremy Vine, and they never once mentioned the cars that self-charge while you drive or brake or whatever you do.
Yeah, but it's because they're completely inefficient. I mean, that recharging will get you about 5 miles.
Oh, and is it when you brake? How does it
work? Some of them, under braking, they will generate electricity.
Then you just spend your life braking, getting somebody ramming in the back.
No, the whole point about a hybrid is it's petrol. Yeah, with a little bit of electric thrown in. That's it.
But aren't some of them actually all electric but self-charging?
No.
Nothing can, you can't get.
No, the hybrids are self-charging. Mm. But once they've charged up your electric motor, you can go about 5 to, and I'm not being facetious, it's 5 or 6 miles. It's not very far on electric. It's great if you go to the shops, and you just want to pop to the shop and back,
but then
and that's
you've
fine.
You've always got this fear of conking out.
No, but that's why it's a hybrid. It's got petrol, so you're not going to conk out.
Yeah, but will they allow us to have those in?
Well, that's the point.
2030.
That's the point. That's why they're not as popular, because they will come under the same ban as petrol and diesel engines. Mm. Although they're never going to ban petrol and diesel engines.
We'll,
they're getting murdered if
you'll
they do.
Be all right, because you've got a horse, because that's probably going to be the only way we'll be allowed to get around.
I'm not going to live to 2050, so it really doesn't bother me in the slightest.
I thought it was 2030.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be 2050, really. You know, they're always behind, and I'm not going to live that long.
Well, you might do, because your mum's 96. You're going to be make old bones.
I would be 105. In 2050, so I'm not. Yeah.
If you were Japanese, you probably would live.
But I'm not Japanese.
No, but you could try.
I could try being Japanese.
You do like.
I don't think it'll fool. I don't think it'll fool anybody and extend my life experience.
You do like that Japanese restaurant where you have sushi.
Wagamamas.
Yeah, you do like there.
I do like Wagamamas.
If you kept eating there and
if I have 3 meals a day in Wagamamas, I'm going to live to 105. Yeah. You heard it on the Bunker Show first.
Take your Natacanase. That's what you should take every day. Natacanase. I take it every day.
Isn't that a shop in Faversham? Oh, no, that's McNase.
There's a Kent Virtual Networking. It's Mary Anulu. She's been on here, hasn't she? And it's Can Do Academy that she's the master of. And she's hosting this free FSB Connect online event. These Kent events are relaxed networking with the like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. So the date for the next one is Wednesday, 25th of January at 1600 to 1700, 4 to 5, that is. And it's an online virtual networking. And there's also Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable by On a Dog Walk Events with Sue and Deb. And they say Women in Business Mastermind Roundtable event followed by wine tasting.
Uh-oh.
And a three-course lunch.
Uh-oh.
worth it, isn't it?
Debauched.
Yeah. So it's the lovely Balfour Winery at 5 Oak Lane in Staplehurst. If you'd like to go, it's Thursday the 2nd of February. I might go to this. 10 a.m. for wine tasting until 4:30.
That's a cab job.
Yeah, that is definitely. So the sat nav, if you want to put this in your sat nav, postcode is T for Tony, N for Nigel, 12, O, H for Harry, and T for Tiger.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so that's 2nd of February. I might go to that, you know.
Zeenat Narani has tweeted.
Maybe Zeenat will come with me.
Zeenat has said, a shout out to my favourite radio presenters, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. You guys make my day and smile and giggle.
Said Clint Eastwood once.
Yeah. Thank you, Zeenat. That's very kind of you. Gav Paws, that reggae genius, has said in reply to Zeenat, they are both legends.
Oh.
Or maybe leg ends.
Yeah, I did a bashful face to that, but it's very nice of you to say. Make sure your profits stay yours. This is presented, this is good for you, Paul Andrews.
Is it?
By the Kent Police Fraud Intelligence Team. Okay, it's on Wednesday the 8th of February, I'm guessing, I don't know where it is, or whether it's part of the Seven Oaks Chamber, which comes underneath.
No, it's not. It's an FSB event.
Okay.
I'm not sure entirely where it is. If you click the link and then click the booking link, I think it will tell you eventually once they've decided where it's going to be.
So go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and have a look there, but it's on the 8th of February. Presented by Kent Police Fraud Intelligence. I'd like to get them to come along to my place. We've got so many drug dealers now in Tankton. Just awful.
Right.
And the smell of skunk by the skate park when you walk the dog is like, it's like out
is that
of your
Pepe
head.
Le Pew?
Who's Pepe Le Pew?
A skunk.
I remember that one as
you
well.
You do. See Linda knew. Don't you know who Pepe Le Pew is?
No, he sounds French.
Well,
it's a French skunk.
Les Skunk. What was it? A TV program?
It was a cartoon.
Really?
Yeah. What was it on? I can't remember.
It's Looney Tunes, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But was it? Pepe had his own show, didn't he? But he was also a character in another one of the shows.
What year was this?
Oh, about 1941.
Linda's not that old.
No.
I'm going to Google him.
She watched the repeats.
Pepe Le Pew. Seven Oaks Chamber Business Booster Seminar they have on February the 9th, 10:30 to midday, and it's at the Batten Ball Station. Where's that?
Seven Oaks.
What is it? Station. Why is it called
a conference
station?
It's a conference centre.
It's a railway. It's a railway station with a conference centre.
And a bat and a ball in it.
No, Batten Ball is the name of the village it's in.
Batten Ball is a village
on the Seven Oaks. You don't know nothing.
I would find it very odd living in a village called Batten Ball.
Well,
you?
Don't live there then.
No, I couldn't. So Batten Ball Village. So it's February the 9th at Batten Ball Village in the station.
No, it's Batten Ball Station. There's a brand new conference centre built in the grounds of Batten Ball Railway Station in Batten Ball, which is a village on the outskirts of Seven Oaks. How many times?
And is Batten Ball spelt B-A-T?
It's Bat and Ball.
It's a funny name for a village, don't you think? It is. It's not very ye
old. Well, what do you think it's like if you pay for Batten Ball cricket team?
What?
Bat and Ball have a cricket team called Bat and Ball Cricket.
Oh, dear. Have they got a village school as well? Called?
Yeah, they have. There is a village school called Bat and Ball Primary School.
A-up, I go to Bat and Ball School.
With me whip it.
Well, anyway, let's move on from that. So it's the ultimate guide to navigating
Jules has lived in Kent.
I'm talking to
Rich now. I'm educating Rich now. Jules has lived in Kent for nearly 50 years, yeah? She still calls, yeah, West Malling. She still calls Item Igatum. Yeah. And whatever you do, don't get her to try and pronounce Trosley because it just goes completely.
Well, they're terrible names. Yeah. I mean, who thinks them up?
Yeah.
They're all Elizabethan. Anyway, this was before I was interrupted, The Ultimate Guide to Navigating Uncertainty and Change with Denise Holland, who we love. And it's February the 9th, 10:30 to 12. You can book by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/go-on-to-calendar. And yes, it's at the Batten Ball Station because they obviously couldn't think of a nice name for a village.
I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson talking about our conversation earlier. Sorry, I'm just catching up with them. And we were talking about, you know, visuals and stuff. She says, one of the visuals I remember very vividly is that we do social media outdoor sofa shot.
Yes.
Yeah. Great marketing. Good to hear from Linda and the updates to her business. Again, well done for many years as a small business owner. Yeah, that was a great shot, wasn't it? The sofa that you lugged outside and took a shot on. Didn't it rain while you were doing it?
We literally carried it out in the rain for the photo shoot, but it stopped raining for the photo shoot. And then when it started raining, we came back in again. But it was a great day and it was really successful. Yeah.
Cool. Right. Let's talk to Rich. Yeah. Let's introduce some decorum, some common sense, some professionalism to this show. Richard Knox of Enrich Health. Rich, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's a pleasure to meet you. It's your very first time on the show. We must apologise. Sorry. We should warn people about this show before they come on. But welcome.
He handled it like a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've just been sat here giggling away, haven't I?
Yeah. Well, he's laughing at us, Jules.
The thing I liked was during the comfort break, as Paul Andrews calls it, Paul got a little bit of personal training going up the stairs, didn't he? You know,
he did,
a little bit of free personal training.
He got up there before me.
Mm. Yeah, galloped.
Mostly because my bulk blocked him from overtaking me. As I lumbered up the stairs, my feet are shot. I've got plantar fasciitis in both ankles, and it's blooming painful. Enough of me. Let's talk about you. Let's start off, Rich, by just telling us a little bit about you personally. Give us a bit about your background, you know, who you are, what you do, personally, and where your history was. Because I know your business is fairly new.
Yeah, the company was founded in 2021.
Right.
Last year in July.
Right.
It's for me personally, I'm actually born and bred in Devon, so Plymouth.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
So I was in Plymouth.
Right, okay.
And lived there till I was about 27.
Right.
And I had a...
He's not very West Country, is he?
No.
Bird, who used to co-present the show with us. Yeah. She's from Plymouth as well. And she was very Plymouth. She were a pirate.
Yeah, I can flip back to it when I go
right,
home.
Okay.
But I just put this voice on
do
all the time.
Do they think you're a bit... posh now?
Yeah.
There's a few comments from my family, certain words that I say.
So, Richard, is it jam first or cream first on your scone?
For me personally, I'd go with the jam and then cream over the top.
I'm the same.
Yeah, I
think that's much, much better.
Yeah.
And also butter, of course, under the jam.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, why not just put it all on?
And then a little bit of cider as well.
See, it always ends up at food, food and juice. With Jules.
I'm just asking.
Right, so 27 years, Plymouth, and then you joined society.
Yeah, so I came up to Kent.
What brought you here?
I used to work for BT.
Right, okay.
I used to be a telecoms engineer.
And
I managed to get a promotion, which brought me up to Kent, but actually that promotion then fell through. And I ended up back on the tools out in the van, not knowing any of the roads. Mm. But I just got round to look.
You should have phoned Jules and gone, "Where's West Morning?" She went, "I don't know, never heard of it."
Well, I tell you, they're always shimmying up a pole at the bottom of my garden.
Yeah.
On the Herne Bay Road.
Yeah. Mm.
They appear, and I'm sitting in the garden, in my deck chair, and they just appear. Yeah.
The problem is, you're trying to sort of. People want more and more data now, and you're trying to put it through quite an old network.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, that's why so much fibre's going in.
Yeah, there was fiddling.
It's on my house, where I live in the country. It's on a telegraph pole on some Victorian copper wire. And when I first moved in, I used to work in telecoms as well many years ago. When I first moved in, I noticed there was an old party box up on the telegraph pole. And my internet didn't work when I first moved in. And I kept ringing BT and going, the reason will be is there's a party box up there and it's not working. And they went, no. Eventually, they sent an Openreach crew out. And they went, there's a party box up there. That'll stop that working,
Yeah.
But I get nearly 2 megabytes now. I'm cooking on gas. Anyway, so you moved to Kent as part of your job with BT.
Yeah.
Let's go from there.
And then what happened then was I managed to get a promotion in the end, and I had quite a cushy little job, actually. A friend of mine's probably listening now. I started going to the gym at that point quite regularly.
Because you had nothing better to do.
During the day, I'd sort of get my work done in the first 2 hours of the day, and then I'd escape to the gym and just make sure I was online at the gym.
Right.
Make sure if anyone sort of sent me a message, an instant message. I could just reply. And
so you do
there was a running joke.
Couple of squats and then just answer.
Yeah, and then go on lunch.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was that sort of period then sort of got me interested in fitness and my health, and I sort of started to feel the benefits of it personally.
Right.
And I actually got made redundant from BT. And
it's because you were always in the gym, mate.
Absolutely, yeah. They gave me an option, a voluntary redundancy. I took that redundancy, right. And everyone was a bit, well, this is a bit risky. Like, you're dropping a lot in money here. Mm. But I sort of decided to do the thing I was most passionate about, really,
yep.
Which was I recognised what it was doing for me, the benefits that I had, and I wanted to sort of bring that to other people as well. So that's what got me into originally personal training. That was back in 2018.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I became a PT. I did the full-time course.
Right.
So how much involved in the course? Do you have to do nutrition?
Yeah.
Do you have to do the whole skeleton thing, muscles? And
yeah, I mean, you have a brief... So the course that I went on, the actual... I did a full-time course in the classroom, and I'm glad I did, because the guy that covered it went kind of above and beyond what he needed to do. He was he was really sort of thorough. And
did you have to do anatomy and physiology? Because I had to do that, and I found that excruciating.
Yes, there was a section. There's an area in the modules themselves that you would cover that, but you're not covering it to the level that you would do in sort of degree, like that kind of level. But you do cover all these areas. You get the kind of tools that you need to go on and to be able to personally train people. So you do cover nutrition, you cover anatomy and stuff. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So
cool. So you became a PT, you did all the training, and then you started doing personal training.
Yeah.
In 2018. And then in 2022, July 2022?
July 2022.
You launched Enrich.
I launched Enrich Health, and sort of a little bit of a background to that was that I was actually working, I still am working freelance at a place called Tudor Park, which is just near.
In Bearsted.
Mm. Yeah, in Bearsted. And
so they've got a good gym there, have they?
Yeah, like as far as a hotel gym goes, it's pretty good. Mm. And I was kind of covering hours on the desk to make money, but building clientele at the same time.
And is that on the gym desk or on the hotel reception?
The gym desk, the health centre part, yeah.
I used to be a member there many years ago.
Oh, okay.
I lived in Bursley for donkey's years.
Yeah.
It's a golf course and health spa and swimming pool and gym and all the rest of it there, but as well as the hotel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was basically building up the clientele there, and then COVID came along, and I kind of just had to adapt, really, because I remember the night before the announcement was made, I was frantically sort of ringing customers around and trying to get hold of equipment. And there was a couple of clients of mine who funded equipment for me. So I actually ended up having equipment on the back of, I know, drive around in a truck just to do classes, just to get by, really.
Right.
And to try and keep people's health and fitness up. So, you know, it was a bit of a...
And people did people respond to that well?
Yeah, I mean, they've remained loyal to me. So
my
PT clientele have always sort of remained quite loyal to me, really.
Okay. So explain to us the philosophy behind Enrich and how it's moved on from just personal training.
Yeah, so Enrich Health is more now about, I sort of sat there and thought to myself, I'm able to do PT one-to-one, but I can only be in one place at one time. So where is the fitness industry going? And if you actually look at it, it is going more towards online and being you then haven't got those kind of geographical barriers. You can help anybody anywhere. So the first step was to get into online coaching. So I went and got myself a mentor service called Classify. Really helpful bunch of guys. My mentor now is called Nora, and she keeps me on track with all these things that I need to do each week.
Right.
So things like keeping up with social media and understanding where your business is going. Goals for 2023.
So business mentorship rather than... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they're helping me along with the online coaching side.
Right.
But my philosophy was I wanted to get into corporate wellbeing. So that is, I've worked for a corporate company for over 10 years, and I recognised even in as big a company as BT, I just didn't have the access, or I didn't know what the things that I could do were to improve my health and fitness. I didn't know where to start. So this is the kind of area that I've recognized, and I now am looking for these kind of small, medium-sized businesses that want to improve their employees' well-being and make them stronger, make them fitter, to kind of, you know, touch into those things of staff retention.
Less sickness days.
Less sickness.
I mean, that's a hugely important thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because productivity is impacted by stress and illness and people going off sick all the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that don't present at work, it's stress and mental issues as well as, you know, physical ailments. Yeah. You know, we get a cold or whatever every now and again, but a lot of time off, a lot of absenteeism, that's the word I was looking for, is due to people just being wiped out and burnt out at work. So physical wellness at work is actually an incredibly important business tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it does is it shows the employee that management recognizes that.
Yep.
You know, you feel more valued. Instantly you feel more valued.
Yep.
And you know, if I can tap into helping companies save money and spend, you know, resources in other ways, then that's got to be a good thing. You know, if you look at actually a lot of the absences in the workplace, it's a lot to do with musculoskeletal problems. So people have got bad backs because they're sitting all day.
Yeah.
You know, their general activity level isn't massively high.
Yeah.
So that becomes an issue. You then start to feel that bad back, you know, because you're sitting for long periods. And that then kind of adds to how you're feeling mentally, you know. And as everybody knows, stress and anxiety is a thing that's that seems to be, you know, on the increase all the time. We speak about it much more now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I lead a very, as you can tell by looking at me, a very sedentary lifestyle. And I spend 12 hours a day sitting in the same chair, you know, when I'm working at home or whatever. And you don't really notice until you get to stand up. Or, you know, you're going to go to the loo, or you're going to go make a cup of tea, and you try and stand up, and all of a sudden your legs have gone dead, and your feet ache and your back aches, and you haven't really noticed because you've been stuck in one rigid position. And I have a tendency to hunch as well.
Yeah.
I bought my new husband, who works for himself as well, I bought him a standing desk about probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And my physio, Tracy Miles, who's been on the show, based in Ash in Kent, she loved it, loved this, you know, standing. So it can go from standing, it can go all different. And then I bought my kids these. You can get these ones now that are on Instagram, these lovely little Japanesey bamboo-y ones, and they're great when they were working from home. I got those. Standing desks are good.
Mm. I own Fruitworks and the Trading Post Tenterton, which are both community workspaces, and standing desks are really quite popular nowadays for people for exactly that reason. Cool. So you've kind of launched Enrich to as well as do what you were already doing, but also to focus on the corporate wellbeing market.
Yeah.
You've been going about 8 months now, haven't you? 8 or 9 months. So how's it going, Rich?
Yeah, it's going really well. I've trialled it with a company called Letronium, and they were really, really pleased, and, you know, couldn't, when they kind of got to the period of all the elements that were involved, they said, you know, I can't believe that we haven't done this before, this kind of thing. Because I think what the difference is that when a company signs up to my service, they each individual will get their own login for that company. They all go into a group, and the workouts are available to them, and I'm still their coach. So they're accountable all the time. And that's one of the things that people have a breakdown in, especially in fitness and health, and probably in all walks of life, is accountability, having that remaining thing to tell you this is something that, you know, you need to do to keep your health and fitness up. So I've managed to strike a deal with Sim Motorsport UK, which is down in Gillingham. There's a chap down there called Simon Ricketts that's running a driver scheme for 14 to 20 year olds. And this is basically, he had a dream when he was younger of being a motor race, like racing driver, but he didn't have the things in place in order to develop in that area. So he's actually developed this school for different, it's got different modules in it. And I'm going to be the physical and strength and conditioning trainer for those guys. So that's all online based.
Yeah, no, that's cool. People don't realise the stresses and strains. I used to own a motor racing team, and they don't realise the stresses and strains on driving. They think you just sat in a car driving, but the G-forces driving a car, especially a single-seater, are immense, and you need a huge amount of upper body strength to drive a car effectively. So I get that totally.
Yeah, it's a hugely important part to all walks of life, wherever you work, whatever you do. You were speaking earlier about the stresses on the NHS and the waiting time, and I know that there will always be a huge demand on the NHS while it's operating, but if we can take small steps, little steps to reduce that down and actually look after our own health, then so many other things in your life will fall into place. And I can vouch for that. You know, I've done it myself, and the difference that I feel now in comparison to 12, 15 years ago when I was kind of working in a bar and not really taking care of my health and just drinking wine all the time, there's a massive difference. And I'm now a lot older than then. So you can, it's not too late.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Before Christmas, I went on a health kick and started eating healthily. I lost a stone and a half, and then somebody injected Christmas in the middle and it all came back on. But what do you do about people like me? I cannot abide exercise.
That's not true, because you love football.
No, I was just going to say.
You've got a swimming pool.
Shush. I was just going to say, 40 years ago, I played football to a reasonable level, semi-professional. I missed every training session that we ever had. I was a terrible trainer. Oh. I hated doing it. I wandered around. I just don't like it. I like playing football, but I don't like exercise. And it's just one of the, I just can't motivate myself to exercise.
Dance? You like dancing?
80% diet, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, for weight loss. But
you do need to move, yeah.
But you know, as I get older, my body's seizing up, as I just said, you know, and a lot of that is because I don't exercise properly, but I just can't motivate myself to exercise. I just hate
you
it.
See, if I don't go out every day, I've got a dog, so I have to, whatever the weather.
That's no way to talk about Gavin.
I don't go out every day for a 20-minute, 30-minute walk, not particularly brisk, because she's a greyhound and she stops and sniffs.
She's too fast for you, isn't she?
Yeah. But if I don't, I get Eeyore, you know, especially in this, when it's dark at 4:30 or something. So every day I have a walk and never miss it. And that's, for me, that's mental health, not just exercise.
Absolutely.
And I think for you, Paul, it's just about finding,
it's a barrier.
Finding something you like.
It's a barrier. Yeah, it's a barrier. And it's you'll find that there are many barriers to you. And I think the way that I kind of, my ethos and the way that I speak to my clients and when they ask me these questions is try not to do everything at once, because then that becomes pretty overwhelming. It would be a lot of things that has kind of been fed back to me over the years is I don't want to go into the gym. I feel intimidated by going into the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's work out why you're feeling intimidated and let's put the plans in place to get that intimidation down.
Yeah.
So that in that instance, for instance, could be the person could potentially purchase some weights, etc., and do stuff from home.
Yeah.
But when you're first going on this type of journey, and a lot of people that come to me are looking to elicit fat loss. So most people that I've spoken to, they're not athletes. They don't want an athletic lifestyle, because that's a different level.
Yeah.
But most people that come to me want to elicit fat loss. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a he's quite a famous PT, he's an outspoken PT, he's a guy called James Smith. And I'm going to use one of his quotes that I watched the other day on Facebook. And the first thing is to understand if you've got a leak in the bathroom, for instance, is to plug the leak, stop the leak.
I've got a leak in my fridge ready to pan fry tonight.
Maybe next week you can have a fridge engineer on.
Yeah.
It's recognize that there is a leak before going out and trying all these different things. Understand, and in this case, the leak represents how much food basically you're putting in.
Yeah, sure.
If we can just kind of bring that down a touch, we can stop that leak and then look at, okay, what is it I actually want to achieve? You're gonna feel motivated. you're going to feel motivated by just literally changing your dietary habits.
Yeah.
You change your dietary habits and it doesn't have to be extreme, but you've got to recognize where the problems are first, plug the leak in an instance of fat loss, and then work out, okay, what is it I actually enjoy doing?
Yeah.
You know, because nobody's going to remain doing stuff that they just don't like doing. Mm. I mean, but sometimes you find as well that I hated strength training. I absolutely despised going to the gym and doing it. Mm. But actually, when I started to feel the benefits of doing it, and just I'm quite consistent with stuff, I just keep going and doing and chipping away, it took a turn for me, and suddenly I loved it. So sometimes that can happen.
See, I like outdoors.
It's an interesting thing about human psychology, isn't it? Once we've achieved what we wanted to achieve, then we enjoy achieving it. What we don't enjoy is the process of getting there to achieve what we want to achieve.
But enjoy the process. I know that sounds, you know, like a massive cliche, but you know, you've got to try and enjoy it. You know, and understand where it is that you want to get to, and just implement small steps, habit changes. You know, if you know that you're, be honest with yourself as well. Look at your dietary habits. If you know that it needs to change, all these fads that you see all the time that are being thrown across Instagram, thrown across social media. If you stay hydrated, get good amount of sleep, and you remain active, you keep your activity levels up. So outside of the gym, this is walking the dog. It's all activity. Mm. Okay. If you do these things and add resistance training to all of that, you will start to feel different.
So resistance training, you mean weights?
Resistance training. Stuff. Resistance training is a hugely important part.
And those bands.
Well, that's part of resistance training. Yeah. So any machine, free weight, barbells, dumbbells, that sort of thing. But you know, and actually doing it the correct way, using correct form, you know, so that you prevent injury, and that is why. As Linda was saying earlier, you pay for a professional to help you with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you've also got to have the rapport with the instructor that you're working with.
Yeah.
You know, because if you haven't got that rapport, it's probably not going to go too well. So you've got to be honest about you know, is this trainer right for me?
Yeah. So you're right. One of the issues with the whole health and nutrition industry is there's just so much out there. You know, you can't log on to social media without someone trying to flog you some diet that they've invented this week. The more I look at it, this is my opinion, and you're a professional, so you might, you know, tell me I'm completely wrong, and that's fine. But what I see with most of these diets, when you get below the level of looking at what's in the diet, they all come down to just restricting the amount of calories you're eating.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
Generally. You know, yeah. I mean,
the thing is, it's about mindset, though, isn't
it?
It is. At the moment, I'm in a very negative thing because I got flu and I didn't think I deserved to get flu. And, you know, hence my three mince pies, which is ridiculous. Nobody eats three mince pies in a day.
Well, you do.
But it was my mood. And, you know, I know that it's all about mind. And then you get this click and then you're back on the wagon again.
Yeah. And as I said before, not trying to do too much at once, because it's quite daunting to say, change your water habits, change your diet habits, you've got to go to do strength and conditioning. Mm. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. It's, you know, daily. I've got a group running at the moment, which I've called the 12-week enrich group, which is, there's four people that have come onto the app and they are doing a strength and conditioning program. We check in every day, sort of, and make sure everything's okay, everything's going all right, they're all right with the workouts. But it's building those habits, and they've got me to be accountable to. So don't put too much pressure on doing everything at the same time. Mm. One day, spend a day of concentrating on hydration. You know, one day of concentrating, I'm going to stretch more today. Mm. Little things that you can implement during the course of the week that you can then add to the bigger picture.
Is
my kind of ethos. And it's all about longevity for me. I want my clients to be able to say, you know, this is part of my life now, and I'm running around with the grandkids now. You know, I'm sort of playing bat and ball, if you like. So, you know,
I see what he did there. Yeah.
Line myself up for that one. So, yeah, it's, you know, that is my kind of, yeah, that is my kind of advice to people. Not everyone would agree with it, but it's certainly brought my clients
success. I feel that Rich has got a really warm, touchy-feely approach.
I'm sure.
And I think that you would feel quite confident doing a little session with him. Maybe we should set it up. As part of a business.
You see what she's doing there?
Do a little business bunker.
What she's doing there?
Yeah.
Warm approach, not touchy-feely.
I've known him, old Andrews, for quite a while, and I would disagree that he doesn't like sport. I think he's actually
I didn't say I didn't like sport.
Well, you don't like exercise.
I don't like exercise. Yeah. I watch a lot of sport.
Yeah, but I would disagree. I think you do actually quite like exercise, but you've totally got out the habit of doing it, and that's the difference.
Seriously, I've never, even when I played football at a high level, I never turned up to the training sessions. It's just not me. I don't do it. I've got a set of weights at home, and you know, I've got 5 kilogram, 10 kilogram weights, and about every 6 months, I'll pick them up and I go,
I've got a treadmill that I used to go on a lot, and now it's got laundry on it, so I need to get. But I walk the dog, you know. Yeah. But the dog walking is not brisk. Because you know they stop and sniff, and my pet hate is seeing people on a bicycle with a dog. I hate it, dragging a dog along. It's so rude.
Poor dog, yeah.
So bad,
it's just, yeah. Mm. Unnecessary, yeah, isn't it?
But so maybe Mr. Andrews could join up and do this 12 week thing. What do you think?
The 12 week is already underway, actually.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame.
Oh, that's a shame.
So always... what would you suggest for Paul Andrews?
I think that
now you're in the studio.
Yeah. I think that...
Look, his eyes have lit up already. He's dying.
No. Rich and I are going to talk about how you need to not drink alcohol.
Oh.
Oh, right.
Oh.
I'm too total.
I better take that advice then.
I'm too total, and she isn't. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. But it was amazing that I told you about the weight loss with the flu. 10 pounds, it just came off.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And I literally shrunk. And then the minute I started eating, it just immediately came off. It was very annoying. I said to my husband, how can I possibly have eaten 10 pounds worth of food?
But that just goes to show you that, you know, when you had the flu and you weren't consuming anywhere near as many calories as you normally would.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that you can elicit fat loss and weight loss even without running around and doing.
Yeah.
So it's really.
It just goes to show how little you can eat at my age.
Yeah,
actually. And my new husband tends to give me man portions. And I go, I've been brought up to eat everything on my plate. That's, you know, my mum and dad was the war babies. And, you know, we do not leave stuff on our plate. So I say to Gavin, please take half of that off. You know, I'm not a man.
As a society, we eat far too much calories as modern humans that wouldn't have been available for, you know, we talk about 3 meals a day. Neolithic or Paleolithic humans would be lucky for 1 meal a day if they were lucky. Yeah. And then, like a lot of animals, the energy they expended to get the food to consume was in balance almost. Yeah. They take 2,000 calories to earn up to 1,500. You know, now you could go to McDonald's and consume a week's calories in one meal if you're not careful. Rich, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. She's not going to get me to exercise. It ain't going to happen, mate.
No problem. We'll work on it, huh?
Yeah. But I do totally get what you do and how important it is, and it is important. And we wish you continued success with Enrich. Give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out about the programs that you do, both for individuals and for companies.
Okay, so if you go to www.enrichhealth.co.uk and then on my homepage there, you'll see at the top there's different options, and one is corporate, which will take you to like a wellbeing landing page where companies can get a bit more information. And if you're looking for an individual plan, you can just book a consultation call.
Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would do an individual plan. There you are.
Thank you.
And he's got a horse.
I don't go anywhere near horses.
Yeah. And he's got a dog.
Just the mucking out will get your activity.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's got a swimming pool.
Swimming.
I do enjoy swimming, but time of year.
I toned up a lot this year when we had the great summer swimming in Tankerton. Every day, I toned up much more.
You'd be better off swimming in the sea
than when I swam in my pool. I've got a little indoor pool, but in the sea, you're obviously going, I really toned up. And then we had the sewage and I just stopped swimming. It was so annoying.
Mm. Rich, thank you so much for that. We've only got a few minutes left
thank
of the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Zenat has tweeted a GIF of Pepe Le Pew, just so that you can see.
Well, Wayne Cunnington says, I remember watching the cartoons as a kid. Pepe Le Pew, Porky Pig, Foghorn and Leghorn. Where was I? I want to know the year because I don't know any of these. I've sort of vaguely heard of Porky
they're
Pig.
They're all Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah, was that Roadrunner?
Yeah.
Also. Foghorn, Leghorn. I say, boy.
Yeah, I missed out on this. Where was I?
Probably I don't know. And probably drunk in an alley.
Well, it was Essex. Wayne says, I have a mild hybrid. I think there's a cure for that, don't you? He's got a mild hybrid, but you don't have to manually charge it. Car companies are generally pushing full EV vehicles, sadly. And he says all new petrol and diesel cars supposedly phased out by 2025 under the green agenda.
So that's new cars, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what a mild hybrid is. I'll have to ask him more.
Mm. Cool. I'm just catching up on some of these tweets. You want to read an email? We've only got 3 minutes left.
Yeah, fed up residents.
As always, when you start on about food, there's dozens and dozens of tweets of people putting jam on scones or cream on scones. I mean, yeah. It's the same argument
every time. Sarah under a
it was blanket. Sarah Marsh Collins, but there's also lots of other people joining in now as well.
Fed up residents say their town has plunged into a pothole crisis. God, I went through a huge one the other day. As roads continue to crack up, leaving drivers with expensive repair bills. The problem has become so bad in Tenterden that one campaigner has launched a petition calling on Kent County Council, KCC, to fill in more than 60 reported potholes in the area. Particular concerns have been raised over a continuous patch of potholes in East Cross, which appeared in recent days. David Ward, Secretary of Tenterden Labour Branch and a road safety campaigner, has described the situation as deadly serious. It's very concerning, he said, as there are about 20 potholes in East Cross. The whole road service is breaking up. There are also some on the pedestrian crossing in St Michael's, which is really dangerous, and in Beacon Oak Road off the A28, there's another whole string of potholes. It's reaching ludicrous proportions. It's an astonishing degree of neglect, and it's just a matter of time before someone is hurt.
Right, so here we go. Quick potholes. Rant.
Yeah, yeah.
I live in Tenterden.
I know.
On Friday afternoon, I couldn't get into my house because there was a road crew tarmacking, okay?
Right.
When I eventually got in and went and had a word with them, they were replacing a 100-yard strip of tarmac across the front of my drive. They dug a trench on Friday and then left the trench there and went home because they ran out of tarmac until Monday morning, okay? But the whole point was there's a string of potholes down the middle of the road that they didn't touch. And I went, are you doing the potholes? And they went, oh, no, we're just replacing this strip down here. Why are you replacing that strip? I don't know. I said, look at it. Does it need replacing? No. So why are you doing it? Well, KCC asked us to do it. So did they not ask you to fill in that sodding great pothole that just ripped my tyre out last Wednesday? No. It's insanity. It is absolute insanity. Yeah. And KCC are completely, totally and utterly incompetent. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And there are many ways that they could be making money. But they don't. So where I live, double yellow lines. I don't know if it's KCC or because whenever I ring them, they never know. They always pass me on to the other one. So either CCC or KCC. But the number of people that park all over the pavements, trash, ruin the pavements, and they never come and ticket them.
Absolutely. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, I really enjoyed the interview with Rich. Making little changes with small achievable goals leads to bigger and more sustainable results over time. So thank you for that, Tracy. Sarah Marsh Collins, in terms of what we were talking about, Rich, has said Atomic Habits was a great book for understanding the psychology behind forming new habits. You're nodding. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, cool.
Form new habits. Great listening to Enrich Health PT in between reception cutting out. Sorry about that. I don't know what's happened there. The internet's a bit dodgy down in Devon, isn't it? Yeah.
It must be.
Yeah, yeah.
Must be that 2 meg speed.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. So if I've missed your tweet, I apologise. We're almost at the end of the show. We haven't read any tweets, but I need to tell you about this. The Kent and Medway Business Summit is taking place on Friday the 13th of January in the award-winning Sibson Building on the Canterbury campus of the University of Kent. Bringing together over 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics, the 6th annual summit will focus on the latest news from key projects and leading expert keynote speakers. You can find out the full details by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. I'm running a schools careers programme tomorrow at the Haysbrook School, Tunbridge. It's a free programme that we do for schools called 3030. It's taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday, the 11th of January, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Haysbrook School in Tunbridge. If you'd like to be part of that as a business owner or business manager, you'll have to drop me an email tonight, hello@bizradio.co.uk. But we have got 25 businesses going there tomorrow to talk to students about the world of work.
There you are. You could go to that, Rich, if you had time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That'd be great. Lots of little personal
Absolutely,
trainers.
Yeah.
Five Kent clothing stores face closure as a fashion retailer has fallen into administration again. That's M&Co, which has shops in Tenterden, Faversham, Sittingbourne, Whitstable and Deal. They've struggled in the face of trading challenges. That's a shame.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they struggled. They sold rubbish.
Well, my mother used to like M&Co.
Yeah, but they... Yeah,
but certainly because it's the only shop we've got in Whitstable. Really.
Yeah, it's because your mum's 91 and they still sold stuff from the 1940s, that's why.
She's 92.
Yeah, sorry.
And they 92. Don't do men's clothes there, do they?
Very limited. Right, Chandra Sharma is hosting a network event on the 19th of January, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Kent Space in Northfleet. The speakers include digital skills expert Zoe Cairns, and tickets can be purchased by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. 7X Chamber have got Swanley Networking. We hope you can join us on the 11th of January. That's tomorrow, isn't it? Manana.
Yeah.
For our next in-person meeting for Swanley-focused businesses to be held at Next Door Huxtable. This meeting is kindly sponsored by Alistair McCluskey Wealth Management. And we will be raising money for We Are Beams with a business card draw. Again, you can find all the details and book your space by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada. Do you know what?
Yeah.
I think we've made it to the end of another show.
Wow. Well done, Paul Andrews. And me.
It was a bit fraught to start with, wasn't it? We had a bit of a technical hiccup.
We had a lovely chat, didn't we, while Paul was
Well, you lot did. I just banged around the studio.
Fraught for you. Fraught for you. But we had a very nice, relaxed chat. And we've had lots of tea and I haven't had a biscuit yet, actually. I think because Rich is next to me.
Yeah, I've been watching her. She keeps looking at them and then looking at you and then looking at them and looking at you and going, can I dive in and get a biscuit without him noticing?
I normally bring a little boiled egg in a jam jar to eat on the way home, just a bit of protein and that. But this morning I was late, so my boiled eggs are still in the saucepan, probably still boiling.
Oh, no.
The new husband hasn't turned it off. But I always bring them a little jam jar.
Right, we've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to my co-host Jill Sirkin, our two fabulous guests, Linda Cloak of We Do Social Media, Richard Knox of Enrich Health. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you to everybody that tweeted and emailed in.
We'll be back, listeners.
We'll be back with another show next week. In the meantime, thank you for that, and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you. The Bye-bye. Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.